This is Thursday, October 4th, 2012, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Christina Thomas. The University of Arkansas Theater presents 33 variations through October 7th at the University Theater Fine Arts Center in Fayetteville. This play examines Beethoven's Diabelli variations and the journey of a musicologist to discover why Beethoven was compelled to write 33 variations on a simple theme. Tickets and more information are available by calling 575-3946.
On this edition of Ozarks, a conversation with a Fayetteville native gone Hollywood and a Hollywood guy headed our way. Jason Moore grew up in Fayetteville and has directed projects on Broadway like Avenue Q and Trek the Musical. Now his first feature film opens nationwide. And Tom Green gained fame on MTV through films and his web talk show. This weekend he performed stand-up at the UARC Bowl.
But first, Arkansas's unemployment rate is down significantly from 1 year ago. Data released yesterday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that in August, the state unemployment rate was 6.9%. Michael Paco, an economist with the University of Arkansas in Little Rock, says that compares to 8% at the same time in 2011.
Generally speaking, the nationwide unemployment rate has come down about a percentage point in the past year, and that's just about where Arkansas is as well. Of course, we started off with a lower unemployment rate than the national average, so we're still staying a little bit ahead of the curve.
Among metro areas in the state, Fayetteville had the lowest unemployment rate at 5.3%. And Fort Smith saw an unemployment rate of 7.9%, down from 8.5% in July.
For residents of western Benton County, McDonald County, Missouri, and eastern Oklahoma, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, has issued a bulletin stating that beginning Monday, the NOAA transmitting station in Grove, Oklahoma, will permanently change its broadcasting frequency. According to the bulletin, the change is necessary to alleviate interference with transmitting sites in Harrison and Cassville, Missouri. Those affected will need to change the frequency on their weather radio receivers from 162.5 megahertz to 162.525, or a simple change from station setting 5 to station setting 6 on most receivers.
Trail users in Fayetteville may want to know that ground will be broken on a new section of trail tomorrow afternoon. The City of Fayetteville and the City of Johnson will hold a groundbreaking ceremony for a 3-mile trail that will connect Fayetteville's Skull Creek Trail to trails at Lake Fayetteville. 2 of the miles will be in Fayetteville, 1 mile will be in Johnson, and the whole trail segment will be part of the larger 36-mile Razorback Regional Greenway. The groundbreaking ceremony will be held at 2 p.m. in an open field north and west of the intersection of Joyce Boulevard and Wilkerson Avenue.
This week, the Fort Smith Board of Directors approved a 5-year capital improvement plan, which City Engineer Stan Snodgrass says identifies the actual work for street and drainage improvement projects to be done in the next year.
For the 2013, for street overlays and reconstruction, we've got about a little over 7 miles. We've got, which in total is about $6.2 million. We've got about $2.4 million in neighborhood drainage work at various locations. We've got a lot of different drainage improvements all scattered across the city. We've got some truck route improvements, intersection signal improvements, you know, just it's basically anything the street or drainage related.
Capital improvement plan is paid for through a 1-cent sales tax dedicated to streets, drainage, and bridges. City board members also approved the 2013 sidewalk replacement program for Fort Smith. Snodgrass says the sidewalk program is paid for through fees generated by the sale of building permits in the city. Snodgrass says that the sidewalk repair work is scattered among different blocks throughout the city.
The City of Rogers is in the process of updating its sign ordinance. Earlier this week, the city held a public hearing on the changes to the ordinance, and city senior planner Daryl Smith says that the hearing brought up a few issues that needed clarification in the code.
There was one part that said highway right-of-way, and they wanted to make sure that that included local streets as well, so we changed that. One person asked us to change some wording to allow a logo for a church instead of just the name and address. She was concerned that people that couldn't read wouldn't be able to know where to find a church, so we're going to allow a logo on a church sign. On the digital billboards, there was some wording on the brightness and making sure that we get the brightness, all that cleaned up.
Smith says that the planning department is working with the city attorney to clarify the language in the revised ordinance to be again put before residents in a public hearing next month.
Busy night tonight, partly cloudy, 40% chance of rain, a low of 57 in northwest Arkansas. It's a 30% chance of rain in the Arkansas River Valley tonight with lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, overcast, 80% chance of showers or thunderstorms. Highs throughout the region, 65 to low 70s. And for Friday night, overcast, 30% chance of rain, a low of 45 in northwest Arkansas. And in the Arkansas River Valley tomorrow night, 50-50 chance of rain with a low in the lower 50s. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Last week, was it when you went to Eureka Springs?
Monday.
To talk to the founders of Echo.
I did, yes. And you told me that Echo was the first story that you did on the Daily Edition.
Right.
For Ozarks at Large.
August 2nd, 2010, when the Daily Show started, our first story was about Echo, which is...
And Echo is?
Echo is this amazing organization in Eureka Springs. It started really ground roots, and it offers medical attention and other assistance to anybody, regardless of ability to pay. Volunteer medical help, volunteer organizational help, and it's been featured on ABC News. Oprah Winfrey did a big story about it. And it's really this sort of success story that's there in the small little village of Eureka Springs. Now, you talked on Monday to Susie
Bell.
Right, one of the co-founders.
One of the co-founders.
Her husband. And they have bigger dreams now, or additional dreams, I should
additional
say.
Additional dreams, yes. She has a vision to purchase the Victoria Inn, which is next door to Echo.
Right.
It is the largest hotel in Eureka Springs, and it's been vacant for 5 years.
Largest by square footage.
Mm-hmm, by square footage. And she wants to turn it into a community center. Eureka Springs has nothing like that. No place for the youth to go, no place for the seniors to go, no public pool, nothing like that.
Eureka, a town of a little over 2,000, but mm-hmm. the surrounding area adds in a few more thousand.
Right. The Echo serves the whole entire county and parts of Missouri. So right.
Green Forest, Blue Eye, Berryville.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have to raise all of the funds by October 12th.
Which is right around the corner.
Right. Right. So anyways, I met with Susie at the old hotel, and she gave me a tour and kind of told me what she hopes to do with it.
And healthcare to me is body, soul, spirit. An outgrowth of that is that we have been noticing a tremendous amount of our patients are homeless. And that is just heartbreaking, especially when it's 20 degrees outside and you know you're sending them out to you don't know what. So, we have been looking into how to address the homeless issue, and we're interested in doing so we've got a separate committee of Echo that just deals with the homeless, and that's what I've been doing. An outgrowth of that is that we want to be able to give them housing that will assist them, give them job skills, and then help lend them a hand up, not a hand out.
Susie envisions one of the three floors of the hotel to house families in transition. She would like to sequester those 18 rooms for somewhat temporary housing. She says that the homeless committee is currently processing 1 to 2 families every week, housing them temporarily in local motels. Not only that, but they will be able to work in this building, acquiring job skills, maybe earn some money. The group has great visions of opening this 73,000-square-foot building up to the community. The nearly 30-year-old building is the largest in Eureka Springs. It has an indoor pool, a convention center, a restaurant. Susie wants to turn this building into the Eureka Christian Community Center, much like a Y, but oh so much more, something this area doesn't have. The hotel has been closed for 5 years, the building being vandalized in that time. As Susie takes us on a tour, you'll hear her comments on that. But as we stand in the lobby, it really doesn't look too shabby. To one side is the restaurant. One of the main things that makes Echo unique is that they feed their patients. Making sure that they get at least one nutritious meal is important to Susie. She wants to open up this restaurant to serve the community. We begin our tour here.
This is relatively intact. This looks great. This is probably the least vandalized, I guess. So, I mean, I think this is the largest restaurant in the city. Is that right, as far as the square? It'd be real close. Yeah. So we'll just go into the kitchen. Here you can see there's a serving bar. Just look at the facility. It has, of course, we don't know if anything's working. I'm just assuming it all is. But one of the ladies that I've been working with that works on my homeless commission, she actually used to cook here. She knows every single piece of equipment, and she wants to volunteer to be a cook.
The restaurant would be open to the community, serve only healthy meals, and be on a pay-as-you-able system. To one side of the restaurant is a balcony overlooking a large, bright room with glass walls, holding the swimming pool.
But see how large this pool is? I mean, you could swim laps here in the winter. It'd be a fabulous exercise facility. I have great visions for using this as a greenhouse where we could grow natural, healthy food for the restaurant to serve.
The idea for this area would be to charge a membership as a community gem. Again, something Eureka Springs does not have. Across the restaurant is the convention center, or auditorium.
There you go. Look at this. I mean, stage, I can see all kinds of things here. We had a fine arts music festival in town, and they were having trouble finding facility. But look at this. This would be awesome. I could see this rented out for weddings if you wanted. I know the Opera of the Ozarks is growing. They could actually have production here. I could see all of that. So,
Susie says she remembers voting here when it was open. The auditorium even has its own lobby, making it ideal for real productions. Past the venue's restrooms.
So we'll take you downstairs. This is the part that's been the most vandalized. So this is an old bar area, and we thought it would be a fabulous... turn this into a youth area, like a little ice cream soda fountain.
Video games.
Exactly. But really kind of let this be just for the youth. Let them have their space and maybe nobody over 30 allowed, you know,
well,
or something.
Like you said, the youth doesn't really...
They have no place to hang out. No place. But this would be a safe environment, a positive environment, healthy exercise, fun. Here's a separate room that has great potential. You can see the vandalism here. I can see this being a senior center. You know, there's a huge, vast amount of seniors in our area. Some of them are very, very lonely. And it would be great if they could get together and play games or... if they wanted to do a quilting bee or whatever they wanted to do, you know, I can.
There's nothing like that.
There's nothing like that for them. And then when they're done, they could go have lunch or exercise.
Susie likes that the different generations would be next to each other, that the intermingling of youth and seniors is nothing but healthy. Speaking of the elderly, there are 6 rooms on the main floor that are studio apartments. They have kitchenettes. She sees these being places for low-income seniors to live. The other rooms in the building would be available for rent, for groups visiting Eureka for mission work or camps and conferences. But the building isn't theirs yet, though the purchase price is really cheap for what it is, at $437,000. The group has raised well over half, but still needs $150,000 by October 12th. Gene Bland, the listing agent for this foreclosed property, confirms it's a steal.
There probably will not be very many opportunities like this. If you do your math on this building, I think it works out about $8 a square foot. And I think somebody asked, you can't hardly even do, and you may have said that already, Susie, I'm not sure.
No, I didn't, because I'm not good with numbers, obviously.
Well, I'm not sure. But that's, you know, you can't build storage units for that. And it's got a pool, and besides some damage done to the plumbing and to the electrical, which Dr. Bell and some of the volunteers have looked at, I don't know what those numbers are, but... you know, it just probably won't come around again in our lifetime for the community to be able to buy a facility like this.
If and when this building is acquired by Echo, there will be a lot of renovations needed. An architect has volunteered his time and estimates well over $500,000 will need to be spent on repairs to the HVAC, installation of fire sprinklers, and other things. Susie says they plan to do much of that the same way they fixed the Echo building, which is right next door to this, by asking area churches to adopt some rooms as a mission project, donating the supplies and volunteering their time to the project. Judging by the success of the clinic, the outpouring it received from the community, this reporter has faith that the Eureka Christian Community Center will soon become a reality. Jean agrees that it is a much-needed asset and that many are working hard to see that it becomes a realization.
And we're lucky to have, you know, I hate to have Dr. Bell and Susie and their staff and their volunteers. Eureka Springs has nothing for its youth. It has nothing for, you know, its senior citizens. And I think it's a great idea. And they've worked very hard to try to put it together, and we're all hoping they can. And I think Simmons has worked hard to try to make it work for them. So we're all working hard.
To find out how you can work hard, visit echofreeclinic.org.
So, you think you know it all. Even though they had never met a cat before, how long will a rat pause approaching a food dish if a male cat scent infused on a cloth is nearby? Okay, got the scenario?
Are we talking seconds?
I'll give you the answers here if you let me get to
okay.
it. I'm Michael Feldman. Join me this week for fun, laughs, and the quiz on What Do You Know? From PRI Public Radio International.
What Do You Know with Michael Feldman, Saturday morning at 10, right after Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Don't forget, Wait, Wait, now on Saturday mornings at 9, beginning this weekend.
A farm in the middle of Fayetteville is an attempt to begin to change how many of us think of and approach food. Ozarks at Large's Luke Gramlich visited Tricycle Farms and talked with the people behind this project.
We've lost our food culture over two generations with a connection to our food that's more based on logos than the actual food itself, that's based upon the speed of delivery and out-of-season access than it is to the people who live in our city that actually grow some food. The only way to make that connection, again, is through education, through actual physical connection to the soil.
That's Don Bennett with Tricycle Farms, a volunteer-run community farm located right in the heart of Fayetteville, near the intersection of Garland Avenue and West Sycamore Street. Since early spring, the farm has sprung to life, providing plenty of produce to all the volunteers who come out to help tend to the crops. Since the soil was broken, Tricycle Farms has produced both vegetables and community. Tricycle volunteer Robin Riggins.
Community meal that comes up. We go door to door and we meet community and we try to get them together. Some people, they don't necessarily come out because they desperately need a meal that night. Sometimes they come out just because they need to be around people or to have their hands in the soil, or it's just such a happy environment.
This is community through soil. You know, the food we grow, we want to share it. We want to share it with our volunteers, but we also want to share it with the folks around who are experiencing food insecurity because of our economy, because they're just needing to get some traction, and that traction can lead them to, potential jobs. The community needs to know about this food because food is an economy.
According to FeedingAmerica.org, in 2010, nearly 29,000 Washington County residents were food insecure, including almost 13,000 children. Tricycle has already helped to feed hundreds by partnering with Trinity United Methodist Church to host monthly community meals where neighbors can come together to enjoy one another's company and also enjoy a healthy home-cooked meal straight from the farm. Tricycle Farms strives to help out those who are experiencing food insecurity and provide them with the knowledge to grow their own food. Don Bennett explains how the idea for Tricycle Farms came to be.
The question was, well, Don Bennett, how many people do you think you could feed off 2 acres? And I said, without hesitation, we can feed thousands. That's when we decided we're going to buy that land and we're going to feed more people. Because of this opportunity of location, we can teach people how to feed themselves. And if we can teach people how to become farmers, and we can teach people how to look at their food and their economy of food as a percentage of their income.
Again, Tricycle volunteer Robin Riggins.
It's not about Tricycle. It's about empowering the community with knowledge so that we can bring that knowledge elsewhere. It makes you feel wonderful when, during a time that you have no food, that you can go somewhere and know that you're also giving food to other people.
Bennett says that Tricycle cuts out the middleman by allowing people to grow not just food for themselves, but also for others. The people that come and work at the farm are forming a community to grow produce for each other. He says Fayetteville's land and its giving, sharing community can cultivate a strong local food system.
We call this Tricycle Farms. We don't call it farm. It is just one farm, but our goal is to create farms, to be able to be a part, a role player in creating a garden city that drips with vegetables and food, so no one has food insecurity. The people that live here and our neighbors, and if we let them fail, then we fail. Let's focus on empowering people to power this city.
Tricycle Farms will host its first annual Pesto Fest fundraiser Sunday, October 7th, from 5 to 10 p.m. at Greenhouse Grill in Fayetteville. Pesto Fest activities will include live music, a silent auction, and a pesto making contest. For more information on Pesto Fest or volunteering at Tricycle Farms, visit the Tricycle Farms Facebook page or contact Don Bennett at 479-966-0572. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Luke Granlick.
It seems we've had our last slog through the upper 80s and the 90s. In fact, some of this region this weekend expected to dip into the lower 30s. But before that possible first freeze of the season hits, Joe Neal takes us outdoors.
Have you ever heard this spaceship out in the shady shrubs of your yard? No need to panic. It's just a bird, and harmless unless you're a small insect or a mulberry. This is not a flying saucer hovering over western Arkansas. Little green people are not taking over Earth. This is Swainson's thrush, not a Martian, but rather a modest olive-backed bird, cousin to our familiar robin. It has a passport good anywhere in the Americas. Swainson's thrush transits through Arkansas in spring, headed north from its winter range in central and northern South America. I hear them from mid-April, sometimes to the first days of June. Thereafter, their songs fill forests well north in the Rocky Mountains and all across Canada and Alaska. In the following recording, Swainson's thrush shares the soundstage with a song sparrow. During spring migration, I was over at the Buffalo River with a birding group from Hot Springs Village. We had something of a slow, hot, sunny day until we found cool shade in a pioneer cemetery. There, perched on a rail fence, was Swainson's thrush. It kept a cool, dark eye on us, then flew. In a few minutes, we spotted it in a mulberry tree full of ripening fruit. The bird eyed the fruit carefully and then made quick, short flight, plucking off a berry. In the following recording, Swainson's thrush and an alarmed squirrel share the soundstage. Compared to the northward migration of spring, the fall migration is entirely different. We see very few birds and rarely hear any. During this southward migration, most Swainson's thrushes fly well east of Arkansas. In short, no spaceships in the yard in fall. It will be spring 2013 before spaceship songs again fill us with terror. There will be no need to call Homeland Security now that we know this song.
Joe Neal is the co-author of Arkansas Birds, published by the University of Arkansas Press. His latest book is In the Province of Birds, a Western Arkansas memoir.
This is Ozarks at Large. Shrek the Musical is coming to Walton Arts Center, and if you're at all familiar with the Green Ogre, you know he lives near a land far, far away. But he also has a Fayetteville connection. Shrek the Musical, directed on Broadway by Fayetteville native Jason Moore. Jason, who's been nominated for a Tony in 2004 for his direction of Avenue Q, joins me on the phone. Jason, thanks for taking a few minutes of your time.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you.
When a work that you were with at the inception, then goes out on the road, as Shrek has done and is doing, do you keep up with it at all? Do you follow along?
I do. Well, we get reports all the time about how the houses are, and I'm not able to visit it in every city. And I actually just finished a movie, so I've been away for a while. But I hope to visit the tour before it gets to Fayetteville.
It's been put together. You've put the direction down. Can you, from afar, make slight tweaks or different changes as the tour continues?
Every location, because of the different theater configurations, kind of get its own special treatment to make sure it looks great in the local house. And then I have an associate director who goes out and sort of maintains the actors and the notes, and there are stage managers that travel with the show. So there's a lot of attention paid to it every night. You know, one of my first jobs on Broadway was supervising shows in that same way, Les Mis and Ragtime I supervise, so I try and set up a system so that the show is always in tip-top shape in every locale, and especially for Fayetteville, since I'm from.
when you have a robust character like Shrek on stage, bigger than life, figuratively and literally, is it ever a concern that you want to make sure this character, who granted is the focal point, doesn't overshadow everybody else and everything else?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you always want to make sure that your central character is the main focus, and certainly the musical is called Shrek. What's interesting about this story is that there's so many kind of fantastical creatures around Shrek as well. So we really kind of see this journey that Shrek goes on through his eyes, but he encounters all these, you know, talking donkeys and dragons. So there's a lot going on in the story, but Shrek is the heart. You know, he falls in love, he discovers who he can be, bigger than what the world says he can be. And so I think it's a really wonderful character to have at the center of a musical.
And, of course, there is music, and there is, you know, it's a grand combination of colors and movement. When you go on tour, people kind of sometimes expect spectacle, and this one delivers.
Yeah, it does. You know, we always kind of said if Shrek's going to go on the road, it has to deliver an entire fantasy world. That's the whole point of both the original conception of the world that Shrek is in, but also it's the story. You know, it's a journey story. You need to believe that he's going from place to place in a very theatrical way. So I'm really pleased with how this tour looks. It's big and bold and colorful, just like the original was. And so people are going to see ogres and dragons and donkeys.
Shrek is an ogre. Anna Kendrick is the opposite of ogre, and she's someone you directed in the movie you mentioned earlier, Pitch Perfect. What was that experience like? You were just on the red carpet for the premiere, I think, Monday night.
Yeah, we just had a great premiere. It was a wonderful evening. All the cast was there, and it was my first feature film, so it was kind of, you know, the ultimate finale in this long 14-month journey that I've been on getting it ready. And Anna Kendrick is far from an ogre. She's also kind of an observant. We were actually talking about this. It's a similar kind of character. She's the grounded central character of this movie, and she sees all these fantastical girls coming in and out of this this college a cappella group. So we were laughing. I was like, oh, there's a trend in the work here. But she's a lot prettier than Shrek.
But, you know, beauty's inside too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, when, you know, Shrek has a life, it's out there on its own. The movie will have a life, and then it goes to DVD. Are you interested in to see how the experience is? Because you can go see a play live every night, especially when it's on Broadway when you're the director. Once the movie's in the can, it's in the can. Is there a different feeling for you?
Yeah, there are lots of the Pitch Perfect has a lot of live performance in it, and because of my Broadway background, we had 4 weeks of rehearsal to get those numbers in shape, and they each take place in a theater with lighting, and so I felt quite comfortable with that element of the movie and really wanted to bring the kind of live performance experience as much as I could to that movie. It's kind of like concert. It's kind of like going to a concert. So I was very cognizant about choosing camera angles and mixing the sound in a way that the live movie audience would feel kind of as much like they were at a live concert as is possible in the movie, because everyone knows it's not live, of course. But I was also, you know, thinking a lot about the experience of what is it like when you do watch a movie, a musical, you know, on DVD or on video on demand at home in your living room. You know, how do you try and bring some of that excitement to that experience? Although, you know, that's one of the reasons I love the theater and will always come back to it, is because to me nothing beats the live experience of seeing an event with, you know, hundreds of other people laughing and clapping.
Not even close, is it? I mean, movies are great, but theater is something else.
You can't, and it's the reason people ultimately will pay the money to go to the theaters, because that live experience and the connection to the stage, you know, is only really done there and in concert, and it's the reason they're such special events.
Shrek the Musical is coming to Walton Arts Center. Pitch Perfect opens nationally
October 5th.
Jason Moore, thank you very much for your time.
Great, thank you. Nice talking to you.
Jason Moore is a Fayetteville native and the director of the new feature film, Pitch Perfect. It opens nationally tomorrow. He also directed Shrek the Musical on Broadway. That production, by the way, will be on stage at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville later this month. And Jody Beznoska will be in the studio next to discuss Shrek and other October events connected with the Walton Arts Center. That's next on Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
We are in the first week of October, and that means everything between now and December 31st is happening. To help us with what's happening at Walton Arts Center is Jody Beznoska, Vice President of Communications at the venue. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Good.
Is that truth in advertising? Everything's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots going on, especially today. Today's Thursday, right?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
The 4th.
Yes. The 4th. So today we open a new gallery exhibition in the Joy Pratt Markham Gallery.
Right.
We have a party tonight, an open house. So if you are going to be out and about at first Thursday, you might want to take yourself a nice little stroll a couple blocks and come down and visit us at Walton Arts Center. So we're opening Kathy Thompson's new work called 20 Years, and also a work called My Folklore, The Art of Letitia Huckabee. They're two different exhibitions in the same gallery space.
Now, Kathy lives in Fayetteville. She'll be there. Ms. Huckabee as well?
Yes, they will both be there. They'll be doing gallery talks, and they'll be meeting and greeting and saying hello to everyone and helping us get more connected to their artwork. It's really going to be fun, I think. I haven't been down there to see both exhibitions yet, but one of my staff was down there, and she said that it was actually a very emotional experience to go look at these pieces of art, because Kathy's work is reflective of Walton Arts Center's 20-year history, and there's some really sweet, fun memories in the boxes that she creates. She creates these H-boxes, history boxes. And then Letitia's work is very, very personal. It's looking at artifacts and photos of her family and her history, and it's laid out in interesting ways with quilts and fabric and found objects. And so apparently it's not art that will sort of, you will stand there and go, oh, that's interesting. It's much more, hopefully you'll get involved with it. You'll see some personal connections to it. So we're pretty excited for that. And tonight is an open house, so everyone's invited. It's a 5:30 start time, I believe. We're going to have food. We're going to have little activities you can do to help us remember the 20 years of Walton Arts Center. You can you can visit the video review booth and tell us what you think on video, or you can just hang out and listen to the artists and enjoy some new work in the gallery. So that's just tonight. Tomorrow night at the Art Center, we have Point of Grace, which is a fundraiser for the Saving Grace organization. That is a 7 p.m. performance. And then on Tuesday the 9th, Don Williams will be here. That's a 7 o'clock show as well. Tickets are going for that one, but there are some left. So make sure that if you don't want to miss your chance to see this guy, and I think you don't want to miss your chance to see this guy, that is Tuesday at 7. In between, before that and around that, we have the University of Arkansas Music Department will be performing. The Wind Symphony and Symphonic Band will be performing Monday the 8th, and the Fall Choral Showcase will be the 11th.
W. Dale Warren, by the way, will be on the show tomorrow discussing those performances.
I keep hearing about special percussion appearances.
Yes.
Yes.
That they're going to have a lot of percussion.
Percussion is always fun.
Yes, it is.
And then we'll have Brantley Gilbert at the Amp on the 12th. That's a Friday. And speaking of the Amp, we'll have the Avid Brothers at the Amp on the 16th. That's a Tuesday. And that's not our last show. Our final show at the Amp will be a performance by a band called Dayglow on the 18th. That's an 8 o'clock show. On the same night, we will have the first in our Caravanserai series.
Right.
This is part of the 10x10 art series, but it's also part of a really unique partnership we're working on with the university and the King Fahd Center. This will feature a band musicians from Morocco. So we will have some exploration of that particular country's music.
Most of those tickets, $10.
Correct. And speaking of that, the following night, the Tokyo String Quartet will perform at 8 o'clock. That's also on the 10x10 series, so most of those tickets are $10. This is your last chance to see the Tokyo String Quartet there.
Unless you, drive.
Right. Unless you're a Tokyo...
on the 20th, you go
them.
To Cleveland or wherever.
Unless
they are.
You're a Tokyo String Quartet groupie and you follow them around the country, this will be your last chance
right.
to see them.
Last chance to see them in Fayetteville.
Correct.
The easiest last chance
Correct.
You have.
Yes, unless you feel like going somewhere far away.
If people who follow the Grateful Dead were deadheads, what would people who follow the Tokyo String Quartet be?
Oh
man.
String beans.
Yes.
String beans. Good one.
Anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the 19th. That's an 8 o'clock show. Both of those shows are on the 10x10 art series, which means we will have a pre-show creative conversation prior to those performances, and we'll have the post-show activities where hopefully the artists will come out and greet us and meet us after the show. So that's the 19th. And then another university concert on the 23rd, the Symphony Orchestra. And then another 10x10 art series concert on October 26th. That's the LA Theater Works Pride and Prejudice. And we will then be having Shrek, the
That's
big
right.
green ogre.
Halloween.
Yes, over the Halloween time frame. So Shrek will be here from the 30th of October through the 4th of November. 8 performances. On the Halloween night, which is the Wednesday, we will have all kinds of Halloween activities going on in the lobby. We'll be doing trick-or-treating. We will hopefully have a costume parade, and we will have some members of the cast joining us. In fact, if you're going to be up at the square on Halloween night doing trick-or-treating on the square, you should keep your eyes open for some characters from Shrek.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, how fun.
Yes,
yeah,
they'll
a lot
probably
of fun.
Be out there. But yeah, Shrek is a great, most everyone knows the musical. Knows the movie anyway. The musical is not word for word like the movie. You don't really, there is some music in the movie, but you don't hear that music in the musical. Mm-hmm. Musical has its own book, its own lyrics, its own tunes. But the costumes and the pageantry of it are just fantastic. And this is a show that all kids can come to, but a word of caution, it is a long show. It's not like a kid's show that is only 60 minutes. It's actually a good 2 hours.
So, full Broadway show.
Full Broadway show. So, yeah, if you have a 3-year-old, he or she might not last. But the 5-year-old, 6-year-old, they can probably handle it. So that will close on the 4th, and then we will be into November.
Here before you know it.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Jody. Jody Besnoska is Vice President of Communications with Walton Arts Center.
This is Ozarks at Large. Tom Green, who will perform stand-up 3 times this weekend at the UARC Bowl on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, has altered his career several times. He began with a public access show, became a sensation with his eponymous MTV program. He's recorded rap albums, starred in films, hosted Saturday Night Live, and for nearly 5 years hosted his own web talk show from his living room. He began doing stand-up as a teenager, and over the past couple of years, he's been touring again. and his first stand-up special recently aired on Showtime. He joins me on the phone from his home in California. Tom Green, welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Yes, this is great. This is exciting. Ozarks at Large. I love it.
It's funny because your initial endeavor right before you went back to touring on stand-up was in your living room, literally at home. Now you've embarked back on stand-up that is anything but at home. You're on the road all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was part of the reasoning for taking off on the road was I was just locked up in my house for a few years and broadcasting on the internet from my living room and never leaving the house. And starting a world tour is a good way to get out of the house. So it's been fun.
Your show that was on the web for a long time was very improv, not scripted. You would have guests, but anything might happen. And even the length of the show was often undetermined. Stand-up, though, while it might not be scripted, you do kind of have a firmer outline, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a completely different thing altogether. It's so much fun, and it's a great adrenaline rush. I love being able to get up on stage in front of the audience who has been following me. A lot of them have been following the web show. A lot of them know the show from MTV or the movies. And some people are just coming out because they want to see some stand-up that weekend. It's a real cool mixture of people that come to the shows. And, you know, I'm really enjoying just getting up on stage and connecting with everyone and having a lot of laughs. It's been hilarious. It's been so much fun.
A lot of your comedy currently kind of talks about examines technology and how it may be making us lazier or fatter or dumber. Would you describe yourself as a Luddite?
I just think that the world is, you know, constantly changing, obviously, but so many huge changes have happened in the last 10 years that have really greatly affected the way we interact with one another as human beings.
We're getting sucked into this digital grid. We're giving away our personal information. We're giving away our privacy because some corporation says it's cool. Everybody's text messaging now. Nobody talks to each other anymore. I can't stand text messaging. You go out to dinner now with six people. Three of them will be texting under the table, talking to three people they'd rather be eating dinner with than you.
And not enough attention, I think, is being paid to the negative side of technology, to the downside of technology. I think, you know, the media really tends to like to promote their own personal Facebook pages, as I like to promote my Twitter page. I'm on tour. I want people to come follow me on Twitter. But at the same time, I am trying to just keep myself aware of how it is changing the way we live. And I think there's a lot of negative repercussions to it that are actually very funny.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, there is that balance because you did embrace the web with the show from your living room.
Yeah, I think the fact that I've been so caught up in internet technology and video technology since it first started coming around is part of the reason why I'm so tuned into the way it affects us, because it's really, it's affected me. I've been shooting all these videos and putting things online since the 90s, early 90s, and you see how people respond and react to putting yourself out there. I don't think everybody with a Facebook page is necessarily thinking about that now. They're just doing it because everyone else is doing it.
From the examples I've seen of your current stand-up, it's still very high energy. You're really an energetic performer.
Yeah, you know, I'm having a lot of fun. I definitely, you know, I've always loved stand-up. I've done it for many, many years, you know, and now it's the first time I've really taken the time to just really focus on my show. And I like to think that it's still in a state of evolution, but I'm still making a point to bring, you know, a distinct style to my show. So people are gonna, when they come out to the show, they can expect to see something different, and it's very high energy, like you said. It's an aggressive show. I want people to laugh a lot and hard, and I'm having a lot of fun on stage, so that's, I like to think that the audience is having fun with me and we're having fun together, and it's just like a party, like a celebration, really, is what the way I look at it. It's just so much fun. There's so many people come out to the show who've just been, like I said, watching the videos online and on TV for years, so it's exciting when we get to all hang out together and just make something crazy happen.
As I mentioned, you've had your own talk show, you've had your own show on MTV, you've hosted Saturday Night Live, you, I believe, guest hosted for Letterman?
Yeah, that was amazing, yep.
Recorded albums, been in movies. stand-up, tours. Is there something in entertainment you haven't done that you still are itching to do? Because you're still a relatively young man in your early 40s.
Honestly, I'm really, really excited about stand-up comedy and where that's going to lead me over the next few years. I enjoy being able to get up on stage and tell jokes and have laughs and do funny stuff, but also to have a platform to talk about social issues and things that I think are important and ridiculous about the world. So I really enjoy that. It's the most liberating thing creatively I've ever done. You don't have a boss. There's no television executive telling you what to say or do. There's no movie studio, you know, re-editing your ideas. It's all completely stream of consciousness, and that's what I really love about it. And so, you know, I'm going to be focusing on that for the next, you know, long while. And I plan on writing and shooting another comedy special. My first one just aired on Showtime this month and last month, and I think it's still airing on Showtime right now. So, and that was exciting because it's the first time people have seen me do stand-up on television before. So I'm just going to keep doing that. And, you know, the fun thing is there's lots of things to write jokes about and talk about, so I'm just going to keep writing and touring. It's a lot of fun.
Well, you do one show Thursday, a couple Friday. Have you been to Arkansas before?
You know, I have been there before, actually. I went there with The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, actually. And we did a bit where we were going around the country to a different state and filming with different people. So we were in Arkansas for a few days, and I can't wait to come back.
Tom Green will perform three times this weekend at the York Bowl on Dixon Street. And you also have a website.
Yeah, tomgreen.com. Everybody, go check it out. And I just got some... I'm going to be starting to film a lot more video from the road, so I'll be shooting some video in Arkansas and posting it up on the website and on my YouTube page, YouTube/Tom Green, and which I'm revamping right now. And follow me on Twitter at Tom Green Live.
Tom Green, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Looking forward to seeing you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 4th of October, 2012. It's the birthday of Edward L. Stratemeyer, Elizabeth, New Jersey, 1862, one of the first American writers to capitalize on the new market in children's literature, which was created by universal primary education. At the time, most books written for children were little moral lessons, but Edward L. Stratemeyer decided to write adventure stories with recurring characters. He wrote The Bobbsey Twins. He wrote a series called The Outdoor Girls, another called The Motor Boys, later The Hardy Boys, and then a series about a girl detective named Nancy Drew. It's the Nancy Drew books that were the most popular that Stratemeyer ever published. He created one series after another, and there was such a demand for the work that he created the Stratemeyer Syndicate. He wrote the outline for each story himself, and then he hired fiction writers, dozens of them, to bang out the actual books under a variety of pen names. Kept writing until he died in 1930, and then his two daughters took over the syndicate. One of them, Harriet, wrote a number of Nancy Drew books. It's the birthday of Roy Blunt, Jr., born Indianapolis, 1941, raised in Decatur, Georgia, freelance writer for more than 100 different publications, author of more than 20 books, his latest, Alphabetter Juice, or The Joy of Text. Roy Blunt, who said, "Language seems to me intrinsically comic. Noises of the tongue, lips, larynx, and palate rendered in ink on paper with the deepest and airiest thoughts in mind and the harshest and tenderest feelings at heart." It's the birthday of Damon Runyon, Manhattan, Kansas, 1880, known for his distinctive stories about New York street life, written in vernacular, most of which Damon Runyon created in his own head. It's the birthday of the comedian Buster Keaton, born in Piqua, Kansas, 1895, to vaudeville comics. The boy became part of the act when he was just 3 years old and got big laughs being thrown around, taking falls with a very serious look on his face. He created a deadpan style that was not as popular as Chaplin's Little Tramp character or Harold Lloyd's optimistic young man in the suit. But he made some great movies, The Navigator and The General and The Cameraman, in the mid-20s. Here's a poem for today by David Wagner, The Escaped Gorilla. When he walked out in the park that early evening just before closing time, he didn't take the nearest blonde in one arm and climb a tree to wait for the camera crews. He didn't savage anyone in uniform, upend cars, or beat his chest or scream. And nobody screamed when they found him hiding behind the holly hedge by the zoo office, where he waited for someone to take him by the hand and walk with him around two corners and along a pathway, through the one door that wasn't supposed to be open, and back to the oblong place with the hard sky where all of his unbreakable toys were waiting to be broken, with the wall he could see through, but not as far as the place he almost remembered, which was too far away to be anywhere. The Escaped Gorilla by David Wagner, from A Map of the Night, published by University of Illinois Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for KUAF comes from Arcega's Espresso Cafe and Crepery, located behind the Fayetteville Train Depot on Dixon Street. Information is available on the web at arcegas.com. or facebook.com/arcegas.
The 24th annual Chili Pepper Cross Country Race is Saturday, October 13th at the University of Arkansas's Cross Country Course in Fayetteville. Over 80 college teams and 120 high school teams will be competing, plus 750 runners will participate in the Open 10K and the 1 Mile Fun Run. Registration, more information available at chilipepperfestival.org.
October is the month of KUAF's fall fundraising campaign. During the entire month of October, all contributions we receive will count toward our fall goal. Find out more or donate today at KUAF.com.
Want to reemphasize Tom Green on stage once tonight, two shows Friday at UARC Bowl on Dixon Street. Speaking of performances, it was just this morning, just really in the last couple of hours, that Walton Arts Center announced that the January 25th date for the Cedar Lake Contemporary Ballet performance canceled. As of now, no rescheduling and no substitution show. If you want to know more, call Walton Arts Center. Go to waltonartscenter.org. Let's see. Today is Dine Out for Peace.
Yes, October 4th. Various restaurants in the area are donating a portion of your meal to Peace at Home Family Shelter.
Well, the money you pay for the meal.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Peace at Home Family Shelter. Yeah, there are 14 restaurants. And
you and I are both going to Vitro 1925?
Right, off the square tonight. And then I'm going to eat lunch somewhere today, one of the other restaurants as well.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Fort Smith, and Pleasure Heights.
Where is Pleasure Heights?
It is on Beaver Lake near War Eagle. And when I was in high school, we used to go to Pleasure Heights to go swimming.
Huh. So. Okay. I wonder if it's one of those places that didn't exist before the lake.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
The town I grew up in, Lakeview, did not really exist until Bull Shoals Lake was created.
Well, how can you have a lake view without
a
lake?
Yes. It was a small town called Amos before that, but no one cares. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
We'll be back together Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. Antoinette Grajeda joins me tomorrow for another brand new edition of Daily Ozarks at Large at noon.